Eddie, do you have any sick burns for Ben that we could lead off with?
That's very, very helpful.
just thinking it linked into what we were talking about.
No, I was just talking about a game that I liked, and yeah, okay. Well, I didn't realise that was the game we were playing, but that's fine.
We don't have to. It was just an option. It was a natural natural lead into the second half. You know?
Okay. Pete, you're a cunt. Start again.
Welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're listening to me, Pete, and alongside me I have Ben.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
Ben, you always sound surprised when I come to you. Is it because I switched the order?
No, I think...
I'm not surprised by how mental you went.
I was doing my standard hello, but then Eddie did like a really somber hello.
Well, Pete went so big, I thought I have to go, you know, let's level it out.
So keep balancing this
presenting
out.
Okay. We're presenting a mixed emotional level. I like that. I like that, yeah. Good energy.
Excellent. Good for tonight. This is a good one. We're recording a night earlier than we usually do, and I've just seen United draw against Liverpool, so I'm pretty happy.
And all of the rest of us were bored to tears by that game.
That was a
good game. Great game. I hear what you're saying, and I agree. It's a great game.
Honestly, wow. United all season. I genuinely think Solskjaer has gone. Get the ball into the box, and then. Just try and dive. Just dive. And if someone happens, there was a bit in the first half when nothing happened and Bruno Fernandes threw his arms up in the air and was like, penalty! And I even rewound it because I was watching it on one of those sites. And I went, what's he even referring? I didn't even know what he's referring to. Right, and then okay. I watched the highlights now.
Hold on.
Anybody who's just tuned in.
Yeah, we are still a gaming podcast. Eddie, great to see the energies reach the level I expect.
He's coming strong.
He has a somber opening. The moment we talk about football, boom. We're gonna roll into the news and the new releases as we usually do. Doesn't that sound good?
Let's do that.
Perfect.
I think to start off with this week, gonna play a mini game with you guys. Okay.
Okay.
So out of 10, rate how excited you are if I tell you that there's a new Star Wars game coming out.
Five.
We're starting now, with this.
If that was the only information, I think I know where you're going. Okay, if that's the only information, I would say two.
Fair.
Okay, that's a strong start. What if I told you it was an open world Star Wars game?
I would go up to 9.
Okay. Pete, that is strong. That is real strong.
Really is.
Shit.
I'm climbing, but I'm always going to look out for who's publishing, who's making, what's happening. So
what's your number?
Up to a 7, let's say.
Okay. So, and then if I tell you that it's being made by Ubisoft.
I'm going to stay at a 7.
That's difficult because I would say 8. Yeah. 8.
Really?
Let's dip down a little bit.
We'll get into that one then after. I'll just explain this story. So this week, Lucasfilm have announced new Star Wars open world video game, and it's being made by Ubisoft. And this came as a slight surprise announcement because for 10 years, EA have had the exclusive rights to make Star Wars games. Now, next year, 2023, that's when the license comes up to an end. So.
Yeah.
I would expect this game to actually release in 2023 or after, and this isn't symbolic of like somehow ties being cut early.
Right. Yeah.
It could be, but it's probably not. There's a quote saying that EA has and will continue to be a very strategic and important partner for Disney going forward, but there were room for others to come in. So. I think this has caught people by surprise, but it is something that really sparks the interest. I mean, Star Wars games, firstly, hit or miss. But I think with the success of Jedi Fallen Order, that then prompts people to get a little bit excited with the possibility of a single-player game.
Yep.
open world with the Mandalorian with TV series, that brings in a new kind of bit of anticipation. Like, what are they going to do? You don't have to be a Jedi anymore. But then the Ubisoft curveball. Now, my feeling on this, like, Ubisoft are like almost like the self-proclaimed king of open world, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm.
But I don't usually find them very good. I think Phoenix Rising was pretty good, but I don't really like any of the other open world games that they do.
Yeah, they have a pretty set formula for them by the look of it. And if you look at things like Assassin's Creed, you know what I mean by that set formula. Yeah. And it appears in almost all of their open world games. So that's why I'd still sit around the sort of excited, but not jumping up about it.
But also,
you'd have to see what it is.
Watch Dogs didn't do much as well, did it? So,
yeah.
Like, when have they, in recent times, like, apart from the name Assassin's Creed, like, when have they had a really, really banging open world game?
I think they're very good at open world. I think Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon was one of the most underrated games I've ever played. I think it's an absolute gem. I go back to it quite often. And then, of course, you've got the Far Cry series.
Far Cry is the thing
which
that would
I think is absolutely incredible.
Well, that's a great point, then. Far Cry
is a fantastic series.
So the team that's making this one is the team that did The Division.
Okay. And again, I fucking love Division 2. I think it's... I mean, I wouldn't say Division 2 was underrated because it was quite highly rated, wasn't it? But Division 1 was slammed and I played it and I thought it was very good. And but it's difficult to judge because, like, Ghost Recon, the Far Cries are so, like, open and they make a beautiful world there. The Division felt really good going in and out of buildings. But it's difficult to say because this is Star Wars. So I assume it's going to be, like... maybe flying to a place. It's going to be completely different to what they've done. So I'm really intrigued to see what they'll do.
The only
qualifier on Far Cry, of course, is the most recent one. But, I mean, if it's being made by the Division studio, that is a good sign.
I think Far Cry 5 still got fairly decent reviews. Are you talking about New Dawn? Version of Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
Well, New Dawn was good.
Yeah, I think
even it picked itself up a bit, New Dawn, compared to the original release.
Yes. It wasn't terrible, though, was it? I think that was more people didn't like the bad guy in it. They didn't see that working, did they? We discussed this the other week.
Yeah.
I think that was the main criticism there. I think with the success of the Mandalorian TV series, I really like the possibility that you don't have to be a Jedi in the Star Wars world.
Yeah, that is a big one, isn't it?
There's so much they can do with it because of the Star Wars universe, the way that, you know, bounty hunting, you could do all sorts of missions. You could do all sorts of side quests in that. You could even, like, build a team. There's so much possibility there. Endless possibility. But with that gets people's expectations up. So yeah, I'm excited, but I know I'll be disappointed.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
when are you not disappointed in games?
That's the grumpy game playing it.
But when I first saw Watchdog Legions, I was like, wow, this game looks fucking sweet. And then you start thinking about it and you're like, no, you can recruit anybody. That generally means that it's going to be the same scripted. It's just not going to work properly. It's going to... And then it ends up being exactly that. So, but Eddie, great point around the bounty hunter type vibe of the side quests and stuff. Like, there would be so much that could go on around that. So, I you know, it's hard to get excited about something that is many, many years away. But just as a side point on from this, Lucasfilm also, I like how they're now, I think Lucasfilm is now just announcing games. They also announced an Indiana Jones game through Bethesda, but not through Bethesda the developer, more as to Bethesda the publisher. It's the same team that did Wolfenstein. I think they're called Time Attack or something like that. The same team that did Wolfenstein, the excellent Wolfenstein game. So
yeah,
that's going to be cool too. So lots to look forward to from Lucasfilm.
Yeah, it's a positive time for Star Wars in gaming then, potentially. That's certainly more to look forward to than EA bungling it anymore, at least.
Yeah, because the problem with, I suppose, since EA took on the deal, they've only really released a couple of games. You got Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2. Then the second one had that debacle over the microtransactions.
Which is, of course, what I focus on, yeah.
And probably why Disney went, maybe these guys aren't the best guys for us going forward. But then Retro Studios did Fallen Order for EA. And that was, by all accounts, excellent. I think Disney recognize EA can do good games, but I love the fact that they're opening it up. It means that we could get Star Wars games coming thick and fast. And in that same time period of 10 years that EA have had the deal, they've released 3 Star Wars films. So, you know, Disney are probably going, come on, guys, like, this is Star Wars time. We've had 3 fucking films and you've done some shit games.
I mean, the less said about the most recent film, the better. But yes, I take your point. An interesting one. It's just a shame it's so far away.
Yeah, like all these announcements, like all the announcements we get. But that's my story of the week.
Okay.
Pete, do you want to go next? I've got a little fluff piece at the end.
Well, why not? Ben, first a question for you.
Go for it.
What was one of the games you're most looking forward to this year?
What did I say? Breath of the Wild 2, which probably isn't coming out this year.
Which probably isn't. There was another one.
And there was the Harry Potter game, Hogwarts
there was,
Legacy.
Which is also not coming out this year.
I saw that this week, Pete, and I rarely am a man who lets emotion take over me, but I did let out a...
Now, of course, this all comes from Twitter, where Hogwarts Legacy's official thing put up a message just saying, we would like to thank fans from around the world for the tremendous, I like the use of the word tremendous in this, tremendous reaction to the announcement of Hogwarts Legacy. And then continues a bit, and then it will be released next year. So yet another one on the delay train.
That's a bugger. I don't like that, because you know the games that we went through the other week when we're like, excited about this, that, and the other. You know, you could see a good third of them being pushed, especially if the pandemic kind of situation worsens before it gets better, and we're 6 months deep before people can get back to their offices and work efficiently. Like, I can see them being pushed, and it's just, I really like the look of it, but it also it also makes me go, that trailer and what I liked about it, and it looked very, very good to me. I know you guys thought differently, but but that means that the game is not anywhere near finished. So what you're seeing is just a collection of stuff that they've just decided to, it's not in, there's no game stuff there. I don't know. It just seems to me like it's a long way. And I know in game development, maybe a year and a half isn't that far away. But it just makes me now worry that what I was excited about probably doesn't exist in the same capacity that I thought it did.
Exactly. And I think this is probably the main reason I wanted to mention it, is that I don't see these days as a band. It's frustrating. And yes, at the moment, as we can see by the new releases and everything else, there's not that much coming out. But I'd much rather they took longer to make a better game, even if it's one that looks like Hogwarts Legacy does. I'd much rather they perfected it before they released it, as much as they can.
Totally agree. But totally agree. It's just that there's a custom now, and I've just mentioned in the last story 2 games that have been announced. There's a custom now to announce games and even to show trailers just way before, and it makes me, and then your trust goes, because you go, okay, well, actually, we're not talking about 9 months time, so they're not putting the polish on, they're actually still making this. They may not even know how it's going to turn out yet, so they may not even have the confidence in it yet. So you're at that stage. So that
one good example of that, actually, Cyberpunk released their first teaser in 2013. And interestingly, it means people think they were making it from then, when actually apparently that was just when they'd signed on with the guy who created the roleplay franchise. So they released the trailer in celebration, but it's led to different expectations, hasn't it?
I assume they do this for investor purposes, right? Because why else would you ever do it?
Yeah,
exactly that. And especially with Disney and Ubisoft and also Bethesda with the Indiana Jones, they're drumming up their share price or whatever. They're getting further investment. They're getting people investing in these games. I think actually, Pete, it even gets worse for Cyberpunk, because there's a story this week that the demo, I don't know if you guys remember, wasn't there like a 40-minute demo in 2018?
Yeah.
And it's really long, and at the time, I was like, okay, that's quite cool. It looked like it worked. It turns out, it is suggested through reports from the development team that was almost entirely made and fabricated for that particular event.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is, even when you see it's very difficult to ascertain, and the media itself doesn't do it any favors because it buys into everything it sees as well. So do we. But the wool is being pulled over your eyes all the time now, rightly or wrongly. And I am not actually saying that the Cyberpunk team did anything wrong. I have no idea. But it just it's hard to trust anything that goes on with trailers and gameplay.
You're very true.
Yeah. So I'm sad about Hogwarts. Sad about
the only person that is. But
it looks great.
Eddie, let's move on.
Yeah, cool. I just thought I'd it was a slow news week this week, wasn't it? I saw a couple of things that I liked, like Fallout has got a new mod that took 7 years to build. It's a New Vegas one. Have you seen that, Pete? It looks bloody good.
New Frontiers or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's called something like that. It looks pretty good. It looks like snowy and it looks like there's a lot of NPCs like all firing at once all battling at once, which is something I love in a game. But I thought I'd go for the nice little fluff piece, and that is Pokemon Go fan fined £200 after driving down the M6 to play. A man has been fined £200 for driving 40 miles to play Pokemon Go in a different town. Warwickshire police issued the penalty, I love this story, for contravening the requirement to not leave or be outside the place they live without a reasonable excuse, BBC News reported. Unarmed. The unnamed man was found to have traveled.
I hope he was unarmed.
I fucking hell. He's a really passionate...
Armed with a Squirtle.
But they don't say it.
to have travelled by car from his home in Bedworth, near Nuneaton, to Kenilworth. I don't know any of those places.
Yes.
a town 40 miles down the M6 on the other side of Coventry. No Coventry. Brilliant.
Coventry.
No reason was given for why the man had made the journey and hadn't just stayed in his own town. I thought it was brilliant.
Did give a reason he's playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, he was playing Pokemon Go.
On. Unless he was fucking caught playing it or something while arrested. Don't take my phone away. So my question for this, right? Would you break the law for gaming? And I'll tell you a little story from me first, right? I did a 7-day retreat in the Koppen Monastery in Kathmandu in Nepal, right? 7 days there. Well, I think it was 10 days. And obviously the rules there were, no electronics whatsoever. Now, I took my stuff with me because I was working in Nepal for 6 months, so I had all my stuff with me. There was nowhere I could put it. Now, 3 days in, I thought, I'm a bit bored because I've read all the material I've got and I'm just supposed to be meditating all night. So I got my laptop out and obviously loaded up RimWorld.
Something small and concealable and you could hide under the sheets if someone came in. Now I've got the laptop out.
God. Well, I mean, there's another bit to this story which I haven't said. Was right at the beginning, they were like, oh, you're sharing a room with this person. And I already knew I was going to break the rules because I went, if I do play RimWorld, then maybe that my roommate will tell on me. So obviously I went, look, I tell you what, if I give you a bit more money, can you put me in like a VIP room? So I got myself a VIP room, right? But anyway, yeah, played RimWorld.
That's the best for meditating, VIP.
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that loved the one it. That comes with power sockets as well? Clearly.
Yeah. AC. Only one with AC as well, so I was loving it. But yeah, so that was me breaking. And so, I mean, part of me would go, no, I would never break the law. But literally in that scenario, I did. So would you do anything like that?
So as opposed to having a spiritual experience, you just played RimWorld.
I had a different kind of spiritual experience.
To be honest, Pete, the way Eddie tells his stories about RimWorld, it is quite spiritual. he does get quite connected.
Very emotional.
That is his spiritual thing. Yeah,
I am close to God when I play RimWorld.
You're imitating God, yeah.
There you go. That's it.
I know we joke about sponsorships, but are you sponsored by RimWorld? Or do you work for them?
Nor deny that. For the sake of my sponsorship, I will not deny that.
Right.
Yeah. In terms of Pokemon Go and this guy, if I bloody loved Pokemon Go, if that was my social circle, if a lot of people who weren't gamers, even gamers as well, got into Pokemon Go, but a lot of people who weren't gamers kept going with Pokemon Go, and it was a very good social thing for a lot of people that doesn't come easy to them. So, I can understand why this is a massive deal to people. And this person probably didn't think driving 40 miles to maybe the middle of nowhere was a big deal. But with Pokemon Go, it's weird because like you go to different places, but like it's not like, oh, the grass Pokemon are all in Coventry and the water Pokemon are all in London. Like, it's not like that. So I don't know. It's a weird one to travel for, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can understand a lovely walk, but it's a weird one to travel for.
Let me put a spin on this. I mean, this is meant to be a quick one, but let me put a spin on this. If, let's say, in 20 years' time, because of lots of violence, someone says first-person shooters are now illegal, would you then, if you had, you know, a hard copy and you realised that it's not linked to the internet, so you could probably get away with it, would you still play first-person shooter games? There we are. That's a question.
Yeah, if it came with a fine, you didn't think you'd get caught, then yeah, I might do that. If it were a proper
death sentence,
yes, then I think I'd give it a skip. I'd give it that one.
What politician made the law of death sentence because they don't want violence anymore?
They turned their whole world still into empowering a FPS. Well,
didn't PUBG in China, like when people died, didn't they just like kneel down and like just fade away rather than dying properly and stuff like that?
I have no idea, but you need to research that and come back to it.
I'll come back next week. But I think there are instances where, especially violent video games like in some places, but maybe aliens come down and they say you can't play this particular game because it really offends them. Like an alien invasion game.
I'm thinking of the movie Equilibrium. Have you guys seen that?
Of course,
there you go. That could happen, you know.
That's true. I don't think you need video games in that world, though, because you're just off your face on drugs the whole time, aren't you?
Yeah, cheers.
They don't think they're off their faces, but that's what they are.
Give me drugs. All right, yeah, that's my new story. A little bit of fluff. Thought I'd cheer everyone up. Should we move on to the next stage?
Let's talk about new releases, which, I mean, it's got to be a heavy week for new releases, surely.
Well, I think this is probably the first week since Christmas where there has been anything notable whatsoever. So Everspace 2.
Yes, of course. Awesome.
The sequel to the roguelike, which did really, really well, by Rockfish Games. It comes to early access on PC on the 18th of January.
Mm.
So that's quite a cool one. I think that was one of the ones that moved out the way for Cyberpunk.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they probably would have done quite well if they'd kept their date.
That said, they're probably happy to be out of the way of that situation as a whole.
That's true. And this is early access, so I think they got plenty of time. But access for years, wasn't it? So I wonder when Everspace 2 is going to come out, and I wonder what shape it's in on the 18th of January.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I definitely won't be getting it in early access, but it would be interesting to know. Yeah.
No, I'd like to know the price of it, because, you know, some of these early access games are still like 20, 25 quid. Yeah. I know you get the full version when it comes out, but still it's a bit of a punt, isn't it?
It is. Yeah,
they seem to be getting more expensive. There's a game on my wish list now that I really want to get, but it's 20 fucking quid and it's early access. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but it's been out for about 3 months now. I mean, it's getting silly. Why are they charging? I mean, obviously to get the money off the, you know, to start it up. But still, I mean, early access, it should be the opposite, in my opinion. It should be quite cheap to get people in, get people invested, you know, share it on their Facebooks and whatnot, and then ask for more money. But yeah,
you still do you get the full game when you buy an early access? Do you get the full game when it comes out?
Yeah, it all comes. Yep.
Yeah. So so that's quite a big one. The next one, probably the AAA release of the week is Hitman 3, which comes out on the 20th of January, and it's on everything but the Switch. But like we said last week, if you buy the PlayStation version, if you're choosing between PlayStation and Xbox, if you buy the PlayStation version, then if you have PSVR at any point, you get some VR missions from the PlayStation 4 game. So probably best to get it on that one. and the last one that I saw was a game called Gravity Heroes, which I don't think looks great, but it's a bit of an indie game. It's got a bit of hype around it. And that comes out on the 22nd of January on everything. So not a huge number of games, but at least as a AAA, there's also a reliable roguelike, which is going to be good. And then there's a noteworthy indie title. But I think coming into the end of the month, the big games, there's the PC game King Arthur, A Knight's Tale. Which looks good, doesn't it?
Looks good.
Very much looking forward to that. That's mine and Pete's kind of game in a nutshell.
I looked at it yesterday and I thought exactly that. And it's got that kind of, it's very dark, like gothic quite setting. But it looks very much like a game that you and Pete would enjoy.
Yeah. It's got a lot of Divinity 2 look to it, which is obviously a good thing. So yeah.
But it seems to have that kind of the battle system and it just looks really good, really, really good. And then
of course it's also early access, but
is it Pitch?
Early access is the 26th.
I did not realize that, so maybe it's not the time to get. But then the Medium comes out on Xbox Game Pass and PC Game Pass on the 28th, and I will be checking that out. I'm not super hyped for that at all.
Day one purchase.
Yeah, well, it's on Game Pass, so day one play. And also possibly get a day one purchase if I were if I didn't have Game Pass. But it looks quite good. It's the first kind of showcase of a next gen only game through Game Pass, so let's take a look. Nothing crazy, and also no reviews that I could really see of, because nothing has really come out. So January's been a slow month, but heavy hitters coming into February, so we'll have some more to talk about over the next
couple
of weeks.
Finally see the light at the end of the tunnel and get out of January. That'll be good.
I haven't really bought any new games in January. I mean, I bought a new game this week and I've played it and I'm going to talk about it. But
right. What are you talking about? You can't say that and then immediately say that.
What I mean is no new release games.
So he hasn't spent his entire budget on gaming this month.
But next month,
you've got a lot of room for wiggle room there, mate.
next month has Persona 5 Strikers, which I called Persona 5 Scramble the other day. Of a week, and I think that's a Nintendo DS game or Persona Scramble, but anyway, whatever. That's coming out in a few weeks, and I'm buzzing for that one. So
yeah, same, mate. Can't wait.
I imagine so. But yep, that's all I've got for those ones this week, Pete.
Okay, good. Bye. God, it really does need to get into February, doesn't it?
it really, really does.
This has been a slow month.
But there are games coming out in February. There are actual good games. And then we have, of course, Returnal coming out in March. So, Yeah, and I'm really up for that one. I think that's going to be great. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I think to be fair, to talk about what we've been playing, I think I'll start by saying this month again, it's Bitty. It's what I've been playing is Bitty as well, because there's nothing grabbing my attention. I know you had a similar situation last week, Ben, where you dabbled in a few games.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and it just seems like it's that time of year. It's also a good time to revisit some older games, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the back catalogue time, I think.
It is. And yet another win for things like Game Pass with that. Because I've played two very old games, when I think of it. One of which is one we talked about last week in Civilization 2, which is very dated, and you can pretty much only play online live in your browser.
But when did that come out? That must have been
1996.
What a year. What a year for gaming.
What a year. Yeah. That game is 24 years old.
Timeless classic, though. Timeless.
Christ. Oh, yeah. I mean, timeless is not the right word, having played it. Yeah.
Not aged well. Not aged well.
No, although I did still enjoy it. But because they're emulators and it's played online, you don't get all of the fun flavor stuff like the council. The acted council, you don't get that because they treat it as if you haven't got a disc on the emulator, so you don't get the added content. So that was a shame. Yeah, the good thing is on Game Pass there is a remastered version of Age of Empires 2, which I've also played a little bit of. Now, it must be said, real-time strategy I've become a bit more loath to play over the years, because I used to love Age of Empires, but it was, again, fun to revisit one. But, yeah, it has very much just been a week of sort of playing little bits of this and that. And
have you played any later Civilization? Because I played the latest one, which is Civ 6,
six
is it?
Yeah. I haven't played 6. I've played up to 5.
Ah, right. So I imagine 5 and 6 are very similar. I loved 2, but I just couldn't get into the later ones.
Fair enough. I find it more difficult the more they've added in gimmicky things. I quite like the simplicity of 2.
Same.
When I look back on it. 6, for instance, you have the big change from 5 was districts coming in, so cities take more than one square, or hex or whatever shape it is these days. They change every time. That was the biggest change in that one. I haven't played it yet, but I would like to play it. I just don't want to pay full price for it.
Yeah, it generally is quite expensive on most platforms, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it's a big ticket game. It's one of the biggest in strategy, isn't it? So they're always going to be expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, it's been a little bit of messing around with Hades and Warhammer again, and a little bit of The Witcher 3.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think Cyberpunk just made it a decent one to go back to and remember the good times.
Where everyone wasn't made of fur.
No. Yes, but remember, I think you guys said that The Witcher 3 didn't release to fantastic aplomb, did it? So it had its issues at the time when it
had some bugs.
Well.
It had some bugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that might be a good segue for Eddie then, I suppose, on his this game.
You've been reading the spreadsheet, have you?
I have. I'm looking at it now, and I'm seeing both of you have played the same game. So
yeah.
Yeah, we went revisited Witcher 3 after the Cyberpunk debacle. I thought I'd go back and give it a try. Yeah, I played quite a bit more. I played on the harder difficulty because that's what you suggested.
Ah, good.
Yeah. Immediately, I swear it didn't tell me this when I played on the easier, the normal difficulty last time I played, that you can't meditate to restore your health. Now, something like that is huge to me. It's fucking massive because I remember the first time I played it, I'd be like, what's the point? Because I'll get in a fight, I'll just go meditate, I'll sit on the ground. I mean, fucking ridiculous. Because we all know that if you actually meditate in a monastery, you actually play RimWorld anyway, so I don't see the point in that.
No health recouped.
But, I mean, look, it's an amazing game. It's an amazing game. Great story. Even the side quests, you feel so invested. Even, like, the music that goes, like, I was playing a side quest with these, I can't remember what they were, three little witch people. And the music that just came on during it. Oh, I think that's it, yeah. The music that just came with it, and you're like, Someone has just created that music just for this side quest. I mean, that's fucking incredible, man. And then Gwent. I fucking love Gwent, man. I reckon I spent most this week not actually playing Witcher 3, but loading it up so I can play Gwent just with the trainer guy. Yeah. I love it. I know it's got its own game now, but, you know, still playing The Witcher 3. I just, look, it's a great game, but I can't get over the fact that there's no sort of, like, home. There's no sort of base, because I feel like I'm playing the game for the sake of playing the game. I don't feel like I have a progression. I don't feel like I have anything. I feel like I'm doing a quest so that I can do the next quest, so that I could do the next quest. So I'm playing it the whole time thinking I'm only doing it to go through the story because I want to finish it. And another point, what's the deal with the minimap? It's so fucking small. Yeah, honestly, like, I even did a measurement because I saw a herb on the minimap and I looked and it took me a second to walk there. I'm not being funny, but a minimap should be because you can't see something that far away. Do you know what I mean? Like, in Warzone, you see, oh, you know, that's quite far away. I need to move over there. Or GTA, you'd go, okay, that's three blocks away. That's where I need to go. Fucking Witcher, I can see where it's fucking telling me. You know what? I'm going to go into a rant here, so I'm going to stop myself.
Eddie, one of my main things that I didn't like about Cyberpunk, and I seem to remember this in The Witcher, but you can confirm it now. When you have a quest, doesn't it say the number of, like, the meters you are away from the quest, right?
Yeah.
That pissed me off so much in Cyberpunk. Like, fucking hell.
It'll probably come.
Even did it in your last cunting game? Like, put it in this one? Like, you did it. You literally did it. Like, why have you removed it?
I did not notice this as an issue.
It's so fucking irritating.
It's like the yellow dot on the actual live screen tells you how far away you are from the mission you're doing. Mm-hmm. That was all I needed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'll pick the mission, then I'll go out and, because, you know, to load up the screen, it's another couple of button presses to get, when it could just be clearly labelled.
Mm. Right.
150 metres.
See,
brilliant. I
won't
pick it.
I understood things in the... That's really close. But anyway,
yeah, it was
I understood
really close,
it
actually.
In the Witcher,
like,
where your fastest
seconds.
Method of transportation is a car. Sorry, a horse. In some you what literally have supercars. That's
just
the point.
Cyberpunk, that was the most annoying thing for me, that the quests were then two clicks away from the map, but then you had to see where it was on the map, then you had to go back to the quest, pick another one. Anyway, I've been over it.
To bury that skeleton. The main map for me, Eddie, the only...
Who's burying skeletons? Why wouldn't you bury a body? Why are you burying a skeleton? Are you leaving that body to rot until it's a skeleton, then you're burying it?
Let's assume so. And ask no more questions. No, I think the best thing to do with the minimap, Eddie, is the fact that it's useful for when you've got some random idiot shooting a crossbow at you and you can't see them.
Yeah.
That's about the only time I found that minimap useful.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big user of minimaps anyway, so I'm not the best there. That said, your thing with the base, I mean, The Witcher 3, it's the whole point is to rescue Ciri, obviously. And that's your main line. That's what you're meant to be going to do. But because of the fact that there's so many good side quests in Gwent, I do get your point about not having a central place to work around.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd. I always just used to use Dandelion's pub in Novigrad. Mm-hmm. That's where I always used to end up counting as home. But I do get your point. It's not quite the same.
I did look up why, because I remember the first time I played it, I was pretty furious about it. And the forums went mental. And it, quite rightly, was... Geralt isn't that kind of person. He isn't. Yeah. He is a Witcher. He goes from town to town getting coin. It would be completely against his character.
To
settle and have a home. So I do understand it. But for someone who loves to have, like, a home base and somewhere to call my home, I just feel like, and if you can upgrade that, then I'm all on board. I mean, look at what Skyrim did. They did it so fucking well. Like, with the, I mean, the fact that you could have a base, brilliant. The fact that you could create a family, fucking amazing. The fact that you could put your weapons that you'd collected and your armor on mannequins. Holy shit, that was fucking so well done.
That was
I just wish, because The Witcher is so much better than Skyrim for the storyline, for characters and things like that. So if they just had that aspect, it would have put from what I probably spent 70 hours up to, well, probably 100 hours up to, could be 400 odd, you know.
And see, the one that always surprised me is the fact that they have Kaer Morhen in there, which is like the ancestral home of the witches. At least the wolf school that Geralt's from. Yeah. And I always wonder why you couldn't rebuild that, why you couldn't do anything with it.
That would
have been an interesting turn to take with it, wouldn't it?
But
you know, they made a good point. That is against Geralt's character.
Yes. So it's one of those, I'm not going to rant about it because I do kind of agree that they've done it that way.
Yeah.
If anything, also, if they did it the other way, I would have gone, well, that's completely against his character. So, yeah.
Also, one slight note on Skyrim. I did love the being able to put your armor and weapons on mannequins.
Oh,
but having a family who just do nothing and don't interact was a bit of an empty gesture in my book. The best thing in that game was the demon dog. And you lose him if you actually finish his mission. But even your wife just says the same thing she'll say wherever you meet her.
Yeah.
So it gets a bit tiresome.
I loaded up The Witcher the other week on PS5 because I wanted to see just how it looks, not because there's a next gen upgrade or anything, just because I thought it might look pretty. But I was quite surprised that I didn't think it looked very nice at all, and I don't know whether that's because one it's an older game, so like there's that. There's two is the fact that I wasn't in the prettiest part of the game, and as Pete has rightly told me, you know, it's one for vistas. It's a view game, isn't it? One where you go to places and you go, oh wow, this looks cool. And I know The Witcher is a good looking game, but I was surprised going back, having the treat of all the new games that we play, how jarring it was to me, not on a high end PC, but on a PS5. That it doesn't look great. What did you think, Eddie?
I thought it looked great.
Sorry. I still don't get it, Ben. I still don't get your...
Yeah, maybe it's just me. Yeah. I just don't think...
I still think the character models, for at least for the main characters, look really good. And the distance shots definitely do.
I've played... I'm not really going to mention this, what I've been playing, but I did play the first hour of Fallen Order again this week, just to start it off, just to kick it off. And I've played like first 10 hours of it before, but then I something else came out, I think, at the time. But I restarted it, and the character models in Fallen Order are that.
Oh,
now it's not compared. It's not
4 years newer.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing The Witcher 3 for how it looked at the time. I'm just saying it's quite jarring going back. And then when people say it still looks good, I think, man, have you played the new game?
Try Civ 2, man. Try Civ
2. But Fallen Order actually at times looks almost like a TV show, some of the textures. It's quite mental. But yeah, I played it for the next gen upgrade because there was a next gen upgrade this week. And I can attest that it does look very good.
Excellent. As you'd expect.
Yes.
Is that what you've been playing?
What else?
No, it's not the primary game I've been playing.
I'm glad you got into it because I researched this. So please.
Yes. Right. So I have coveted this game for a while. It's Catherine Full Body. I have wanted to get it for a long time, but on the eShop, it never really comes down from like 40 quid, 44 quid. I saw it on sale the other week, but I didn't really want to drop 35 quid on it and not have a physical copy. But then I went on Amazon and it was 30 quid. So I thought, brilliant, let's get involved. So it originally came out in 2011, the original Catherine game. But then in 2019, they did a re-release, and it is a cult classic. It is a cult game. It does have a huge following. But I've never played it. So I thought I'd get involved. It's an Atlus game, which I think turns off a lot of people, but it turns on a lot of other people. So if you like Persona and the like, and Tokyo Mirage Sessions and games like that, which I do, then you'll probably get on with this game. What I would say from the outset is that it's like watching an anime, but then you do puzzles in between the anime. Like, it's very, very Atlus in terms of there are long periods of time where you are watching just cutscenes, so 20-minute cutscenes.
Yeah.
So, it, as I said, it's like watching an anime series, but you're just doing interactive puzzles in between. So you've got to be prepared for that. It's like Persona. You could play for a whole night, and you might not do anything other than read text and watch cutscenes. So it is a very niche audience that it appeals to, but it's a weird one. It's a mature story, which is. It's about a guy.
What do you mean by that? Yeah, go on.
It's about a guy called Vincent who, he's got a girlfriend called Catherine. He cheats on his girlfriend with another person called Catherine, and he's also falling for another person called Catherine. So there's like three Catherines in the story.
And are they all spelled exactly the same?
No, one with a K, one with a C, and one's called Rin.
Right.
Just to make
Rin is short for
Catherine
with
a C.
With a Q.
Because they had to. But she doesn't remember how to spell her name, so she spells it. That person has got amnesia. Anyway.
If you've got amnesia, then your first letter to go to is not a Q.
I know.
Surely, if you've got amnesia, I think my name's Catherine. I'll spell it with a Q.
The first time you see it, though, is when she sends a message on a phone. She doesn't know how to use a phone, so she types in her name, and it starts with a Q. So maybe she just couldn't use a phone.
Eddie, save the energy. There's more to rant on.
What fucking autocorrect is this? Or did it autocorrect it to
save.
Q?
It's autocorrect.
What phone is she using?
Autocorrect has got better.
Outrageous.
In the last 9 games.
Maybe Catherine in Japan is spelled with a Q. Is that
don't
what I'm
worry
fucking
about
this up? I'm looking this up.
No, there's more. There's more.
There's more. There's a lot more. Yeah. You went too early, Eddie. Cool.
Anyway, so he's basically on this like guilt frenzy because his girlfriend is pregnant as well.
Says
she's pregnant, so...
Right, Ben, I'm going to have to stop you here. I've typed in Catherine, and it's with a Q, and apparently there's no U after the Q. Is that right?
It's true, I think, yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, furious. I get your fury, but there's more. It's centered around this guy who's got all the shit going on, and he goes to a bar with his mates every night, and that's where you like congregate and speak to people. And then when you go home afterwards, he basically has nightmares. So it's over a period of a week or just over a week. And then every night is different puzzle based nightmares where you have to go through, various levels, and it's really fucking difficult. Like this game is a very, very hard game. It actually makes you feel like you're quite good at puzzle solving. It's not insurmountable, but it's I don't think I could do it on the very hard difficulties. Like normal is enough. Like it's you basically have to traverse up like a mountain of blocks, but you have to move blocks in a certain way to get up this mountain. And if you make mistakes, then you can reverse time and try and figure out, but it gets very, very complicated. All this at the same time, the ground below you is moving. So you've got to do it within a certain time period. So it is quite pressured. So the puzzles are excellent, but the issue that people would have with it is that you do these puzzles are excellent, which would go on for 25 minutes. And then you're 40 minutes of cutscenes and stuff like that. So you have to love the anime. You have to love a TV series type game. So, it's very, very typical Atlus. So on Metacritic, this has an 81. It's also got an 8.1 user score. So, the users and the reviewers are pretty much aligned on this. Quite rare, but, I could certainly see this not being for everyone. Absolutely, it is a niche, and it is a Japanese anime type niche game, but I am really enjoying it, and it is quite mature in its content and its swearing and its sexual stuff. And yeah,
what do you mean by that exactly, Ben? Paint us a word picture.
A word picture. Well, Eddie has put an actual picture on our document we use for our prep.
I'll tell you my process there is I looked at that, and once again I consider myself a very well-knowledged gamer, and I thought Ben's put another game that I've never fucking heard of before. So I typed in, and the first thing I do is normally read a bit, you know, to figure it out. Then I go onto images, because hopefully it's got gameplay there. And literally on the front page is this picture. For our listeners, the picture, in fact, type it in. Catherine full body, that's with a C, not a Q. Then you go on that, on a Google image, and there's a picture of a woman straddling a man's face.
Yes.
All in anime, yes. Obviously.
Yeah, and I thought that was a bit much at the time as well, admittedly. Admittedly.
There's but you have
to understand the context, Eddie. That girl was fleeing for her life, tripped over that man, that gentleman, who's called Vincent, and landed in that position. And they were both as shocked as each other.
Jesus Christ.
I'm perfectly understandable, yeah. She vaulted onto his face by accident.
Yes, and they were both as shocked as each other. So
right.
It's a perfectly understandable
thing. I hope he didn't have his
setting.
Mouth open.
So, well, we don't know.
I know.
Wow.
You can see a body on it, yeah.
Okay, you painted a word picture there, Eddie, thanks. Okay, so one thing, Ben, how far through it are you?
I'm right at the end. I really wanted to complete it before the pod, but so it's a week long, and it's a week long for the main game, and then you're in the after game, and I'm in the after section. So I'm like, okay. I think I'm actually day 9.
Okay, because for one thing, I looked up Quathrin with a Q.
Yes.
Her full backstory is phenomenal. I mean,
yeah, it's amazing. Like, there's
13, phenomenal for a reason, as opposed to amazing. But yeah,
there's about 13 different endings to this game, and it could all progress in different ways. You have questions to answer throughout, and you can reply to texts in certain ways and speak to different people. So my ending, which is seemed like it's coming up, and I've made my choices and stuff, and it seems pretty evident what's happening. There are a few twists. There are a lot of twists in this tale, and I think Pete may be alluding to some stuff that we won't spoil. But
fair enough. But, God,
for all our listeners that are going to play this game,
Well, it's a cult classic, Eddie. It's a cult classic. But I don't know. I know there are 13 different endings, so you can obviously take things in a number of different ways, and you can like. It says, like, do you want to... I've read briefly around the endings, like, well, you can start to try and romance different characters or, like, lean towards different characters' ways. And I don't know whether I lent any particular way. I've just gone my path, which I thought is the right path. And it also asks you questions, like, about...
Are you going to end a romance game single, Ben? Is that what you're doing?
That is a choice.
That sounds quite fitting.
That seems to be a choice in it as well. To be a choice. So, yeah, okay. Any player who plays this game, maybe that is the natural choice for that person.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I'm really enjoying it. I'm sad that I haven't finished it in time for this pod, because that would be, that was really what I was trying to do. I think I'm very, very close to the end. But it's got a lot of twists. I wish I could talk about the twists, because I think that's what Pete was alluding to. But
that's a twist.
I think it's probably best not to. But yeah, it's a strange ass game, man.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, we definitely shouldn't. We don't do spoilers normally, do we? I mean,
no,
don't talk. Definitely not about Game of the Year or anything.
No, of course not. We would never do that. Nothing about Abby. Nothing about Joel. Nothing about any of. Deaths between
exactly
so, we're there, and like I said, I also played Jedi Fallen Order, which is great. I think I might carry that on, because I think that might be my bridge I'm trying to trigger for the Elden Ring game coming out. Star Wars Dark Souls type game would be excellent. I also played some Animal Crossing, obviously. But that's me for the week. But hopefully I'll finish Catherine, and I'll just give the final thoughts next time. But it's a solid 8 out of 10 game for me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it seems to be a solid 8 out of 10 for critics and audience as well.
But
going with the crowd there, then.
But you guys would hate it, and I think Eddie, I don't think he could stand it. Like, I would enjoy watching Eddie play it. Like, the actual game is very good, but the sitting through the 20 minutes, half an hour. I actually got to a cutscene where it let me save halfway through the cutscene, because I think it even knew it was taking the piss. It's like, guys, you've been here for 25 minutes. It actually said at the bottom of the screen, you can save now. Yeah, okay, I'll save.
Is it just me who thinks that at some point they're going to release a game that is just all cutscene, and at like half an hour in, it's just going to be like, you really thought there was going to be a game? Come on. So you know it's better than this.
Persona is like 90 hours long, and no word of a lie, probably 50 hours of that is you sat clicking through text. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes you get so frustrated, and then it's good, and you're like, oh, no, this is a good game. So,
right.
It's hard, though. It's hard to get through that. If you're not that type of gamer, it's hard to get through it.
I can tell. I can tell.
Surely the one thing a developer aims to do is for their main audience to not say it's difficult to get through. You know what I mean?
It can be. Like, even with this, like, I've been there just like, can I just... I really enjoy the puzzles. Can I just, like, do more? No. Okay, that's cool. Right. But you've got to embrace the story. You've got to embrace that you're just watching this for a while. And my Switch, I actually have some like a stand for it, so I can just put it back and just actually just watch it like a TV. So that helps definitely.
It's probably not bad that it's. I assume it's fuck me, I've forgotten the name of it. Your shit game. Your shit console.
Switch.
Switch. It's a Switch game, right?
Yeah.
That's not bad. I mean,
shit console.
shit console. I mean, that must help, because you can sit back on your sofa and just relax and do something that's actually entertaining while playing a shit game like this.
That's...
Okay. You want to say yes, because I made a good point, but you don't want to say yes.
I do lay back, and I watch it, and it's like watching a TV series whilst playing the game. But it's an Atlus game. Like, you can't say any more than that. Like, people who have played Atlus games know what they're getting themselves in for. And this is exactly that, but it's different. It even uses some of the fucking same music as Persona. It's they use the same tones.
The part of the thing I saw in the research of this wasn't the port. It was essentially a port onto Persona 5's engine, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The update from Catherine to Catherine Full Body.
Absolutely. The bar scenes and everything is same as Persona. It's the same as Tokyo Mirage Sessions. Like, they all use the same. Like, it's all the same. But what is great about this is that it's fully voice acted, and that really, really helps.
Oh, that helps any game, yeah.
It really, because there's a lot of text. You don't have to, there's a lot of stuff that you just don't have to do in this game, so you don't have to have conversations with everybody. You don't have to move things on like that. You can just get through it and watch, but the cutscenes, there's a hell of a lot of anime cutscenes in comparison to Persona in this. Persona don't have that many actual anime cutscenes. It's like kind of in-game stuff. If anything, you want more of it in Persona, but it's, you know what you're getting yourself in for, and the actual gameplay is excellent, and if you like anime, then also excellent.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to highlight Jedi Fallen Order again, by the way, I was really hoping to have played that by now, with EA Play coming to Game Pass, but can I just say, I really want an update from Xbox about this, because what, it was mid-December, they pushed back EA Play to Game Pass for PC until 2021, and said there would be an update in early 2021. You thought it was coming out in March?
I thought that.
See, I don't think I've seen a confirmed date for it yet.
I don't think that. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I really want to know.
It just says 2021, doesn't it? Well, I did promise you sending you an Xbox, and I am set to fulfill that promise. I will try to do that this week. Then you'll be able to play, because I'm gonna play it this week as well. So it's one of those. It's one of the few that EA Play on Game Pass is a treat. There are a lot of games that you can get your teeth into. Mass Effect ones, I'm sure, Pete, you want to play.
Of course. Yeah.
But the Jedi Fallen Order and also the Dead Space games. Like, just those alone, you've got yourself hundreds of hours if you want.
Well, Dragon Age is on there as well, and I very much enjoyed those of the series I've played.
Inquisition's
on there, yeah. It did. I wanted to play it.
I've never played it. I heard that the combat system wasn't great, but it did win Game of the Year, though.
How's the combat system in Catherine Full Body, just out of interest? But
there isn't one. You can push sheep off blocks.
Well, I'm sad I went back onto this.
This is your fault more than anyone's.
Good game.
So on to the feature.
Cool.
And this week I thought it would be good to actually look at something we were asked about last week, but decided not to talk about in the questions, which was, But the actual question we were given is, what do we think is the future of gaming? And that's a bit too big, to be honest, at least for me. I'm sure Eddie would say Rimworld, and in some ways might be right. But
God, I hope so.
But I think the overall is, I'm not prepared to answer that kind of question. But I think we can look at something that is very near future. And in this, I'm talking about streaming and subscription services in gaming.
Mm.
Now, personally, I think the reason I want to talk about this is because 2021 could be a big year for this. And even if it's not completely dominating by the end of 2021, it's going to become a larger presence in all of our lives in gaming. Mm. So, Ben, you're more, you've tried a few of them, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I think probably the first thing to do is to define what if I'm talking about a streaming service, what I mean and what we mean. Yeah. So when you can use your phone, your tablet, laptop, any device you've got, or even your TV, to kind of access a server which has a supercomputer via the internet and then lets you play games at home or anywhere else. So yeah. We're talking the likes of Stadia, we're talking xCloud, then you've got GeForce Now, you've got PS Now, and you've got the new Nintendo Cloud games that are coming out. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about that. And then when we say subscription services, I mean, the one that comes to mind is obviously Game Pass. And then it's how subscription services or Game Pass may link to these streaming services. So I think that's an interesting proposition going into 2021, because like you say, I have played some of these. I've used xCloud or the beta of it, and I've also used GeForce Now. Yep. And all of these streaming services in my mind seem to have issues with them. one may be performance, one may be games they can get on their service. You know, marketing. That's a big issue we've got in gaming at the moment, that we don't have things put on TV. I think maybe we might want to tackle these kind of big hitters individually and see what we think of them.
I mean, I think that's worth doing. And obviously the one I'd start with is Stadia.
Mm.
Because there's been an awful lot of talk about Stadia already, and not much of it has been positive.
No.
Now, I mean, launching a subscription-based service that doesn't come with anything except access to games that you have to pay for, that's a bold move, right?
Yeah.
Bold
move
that didn't pay off, right?
Hasn't paid off yet. There's still time. There's still time.
Oh, okay.
Look, they fucked it, didn't they? They totally fucked that launch. I mean, what they needed to come out of the gate swinging, because I think everyone saw this and went, Stadia versus xCloud. xCloud is the one that's coming out. xCloud was the one where they think, okay, Microsoft are going to do this better. So Stadia had an opportunity to come out first with it. And they totally screwed the pooch. You needed to get a different HD Chromecast. That was like the first thing you need to do, and they were hard to come by. So basically a lot of people that had Stadia had to just use it through the laptop, so they couldn't use it on their TV. The whole thing about Stadia was, you don't need a console now. You can use our supercomputer and you can do this stuff. And it had like links to YouTube and, oh, well, you'll watch a video on YouTube of a game and, hey, you just click the play game and then you're in the game. And it just never fucking worked like that. the first event that they had that I saw was like some tech demo, like at some, it was basically like a tech conference. Yeah. Don't show your shit at a tech conference. Show it at a gaming event and say, hey, look, we've got this cool fucking streaming service. Not to a load of people at a tech conference going, yeah, that seems to work. Yeah. Like, what's the fucking point? Like, I thought their marketing was just total bullshit and it didn't sell anything at all. And the biggest issue that Stadia had, as Pete just alluded to, was it didn't come with any fucking games. Like, it was like two free games, and then it gave you access to games. And how many games did it give you access to?
One thing to point out, they weren't free games. They came in the bundle that you had to buy to purchase it. Bundle, which was $120 or something.
And it came with a controller. Yeah, so basically
it came with the controller, the actual Chromecast device.
Yes.
The controller, Destiny 2, and another game.
And a fighting game.
And 3 months of subscription to the $10 a month subscription cost.
Yeah, and then you've got to pay the subscription. And after that, you get nothing. You get access. So you've got Game Pass over here that's saying, hey, for £11 a month, you can get access to all these games on Game Pass. And then you've got Stadia saying, hey, for £10 a month, you can get access to buy games. Oh, right. Oh, so you're letting me walk into your shop. Oh, right. Yeah, that sounds like a great fucking deal, doesn't it? That's really where we're at. And when you've got big companies like Google and we'll move on to Microsoft, but when you've got big companies like Google, like, why aren't they advertising on TV? Like, who has really paid attention to Stadia? Have gamers paid attention to Stadia? I've paid attention to it, not massively, but if I haven't got it, who's buying it?
Because who exceeds his monthly £200 budget. Yeah.
Every time.
Every console that has ever been made. Yeah,
exactly. If I'm not buying it, then your thing is fucking niche. Like, it's really fucking niche. Like,
I just spent 45 minutes talking about what I can only assume is a pornographic game.
Hentai game. Absolutely.
When he finds the magazines of that stuff, man.
Yeah, so I just think everything was wrong, and I think they have made I don't know where this is going. So Stadia had their chance.
They did. Now, there was quite a good analogy made to this, which was, who made the worst planes of all time? And play along with me. Go on, take a guess. Who do you think makes the worst planes of all time?
I don't know.
Well, the argument here was it was the Wright brothers, because they made ones.
Fine. Yeah, okay.
And they were like, obviously, once you've made the first one, everything that comes after it is going to take that and improve upon it. Yeah, it's not fair. But there is a little bit of that about Stadia, because everyone else is going to get to learn from their mistakes. And they were pretty big mistakes. But they're also not wrong when they argue that it does cost money to upkeep data centers, and it does cost money to actually run the games for them. But I think it is the fact that everyone else who's going to do this is going to do it with a catalog of games.
So
I think they've got to do it properly.
I mean, look at what Microsoft have done with their new consoles. You can actually, I mean, they're very hard to come by, but you can actually buy them on these 24-month finance deals, can't you?
Yeah, you can.
Interest-free finance deals. So you can buy that for like £10 a month or something. Or you can buy set, but you get Game Pass and you get a console. You get something physical. Like, I just think they screwed the pooch with the lack of games on their service for free. Yeah. And I understand the data center stuff, but Microsoft just comes along and goes, yeah, hold my beer. We've got Game Pass. You know the thing, we've got Game Pass. We're just going to fucking bosh it on a streaming service and call it xCloud.
Yeah.
Right. So, and what does that cost? No, it doesn't cost anything more. All right. Right. So what's this Stadia thing? Nah, fuck them. Yeah. So Microsoft's just gone, yeah, I see you there whilst I'm trampling all over you.
Yes.
Like, the fact, and we make you make jokes about it, but the fact that you can just load up Halo on your phone.
Yeah.
Like, that's just fucking mental. Yeah.
As you did, rather than talking to your friends last time we were all in the same place.
It is preferable. It is sometimes preferable. And you can do it.
Friendship.
Fantastic, yeah.
And you can do it. But that's tied into Game Pass. But what are they doing? Like, where's their TV campaign? Like, who's heard of xCloud? I don't know if it's even out of beta yet. Like, but who's heard of it? Like,
it's not making waves, is it?
But Game Pass itself, like we know about Game Pass because we're gamers, but if let's say somebody, a casual gamer, has an Xbox, do they know about Game Pass?
Yeah. I mean, you'd hope so.
But yeah. How? Like, how do they know about it? Like, who's telling them about it? If they haven't got friends and... Like, so why isn't this on TV? Why isn't it between Coronation Street? Why aren't they saying, like, Game Pass?
Do you know that it's not in between Coronation or like, Street,
man? No. We watch it every night, I'm sure.
But what about during the football? Like, that's prime time. Like, tonight when we're watching the football, surely... And Microsoft can afford it. Like, isn't that... Isn't it obvious? Like, if they want to promote this subscription service, get people on it. Like, it just seems to me like I sing a tune about Game Pass to people. Like, oh yeah, it's the best deal in gaming, best deal in gaming. And then you just like, they're not doing themselves any favors, I don't think.
No, and I mean, we can't exactly go into the business reason of why, but you've got to think they're succeeding anyway.
Like, yes,
you've
got to believe it, haven't you? Yeah. I don't know how. Like, I mean, there was that story the other week where they said like it's a fucking mess how people get paid. Like, it's just everyone's different. It's all ad hoc. It's Phil Spencer was just like, it's many different deals with many different people.
it
sounds like a struggle that they would make a profit, but they obviously will or are doing.
Yes.
In September, they had 15 million subscribers for Xbox Game Pass.
Okay, 15 million. So Xbox Ones, there are about, let's call it 50 million Xbox Ones. So let's say some of those Xbox Ones are rebuys for people upgrading to X's, not the latest ones, but are rebuys and maybe the like. So actually, that probably is a third approaching a half of people on Game Pass then. So active gamers, maybe they are actually maybe a half of active gamers are actually on Game Pass for Xbox.
You would think so.
So maybe they're weighing
people.
I think it'd be a console seller to me. Like I actually in the last month I did, since getting my Xbox and not playing it for the first week and thinking why did I buy this, I it's actually the one I choose to play now. Because it's got Game Pass. So I've played the Xbox more than I've played the PS5 in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I mean, Game Pass is fantastic, isn't it?
It is.
And the Series S that I've got is a great console. It's really great, and the Xbox controller is lovely as well. So there's not too much bad about it. It's I wish it could be promoted more. But then xCloud off the back of it is also a massive thing. But who the hell's heard of xCloud?
No.
I don't think I've seen one advertisement for it.
No.
Any sort of publication at all, actually, if I'm being honest.
But then let's talk about PS Now as well.
Yeah.
Because we've got a couple more to go through as well. And then I think there's a few things to talk about on the whole industry that's developing there. But PS Now, it's got to be said, I know absolutely nothing about this.
Ah, well, I can fill you in because obviously I'm a PlayStation guy.
Trending on the theme, by the way, that we just don't know enough about these things. But yeah, go on.
So PS Now, it started off as a streaming only service on PlayStation. So it was about 20 quid a month, and I think it's now cheaper, which is about 20 quid a month. And I think you bought it on top of your PS Plus. So PS Plus membership is basically so you get access to the internet, you can play games online, you also get free games each month from like the downloadable games like Maneater this month, etc. PS Now is their like streaming service where it's got a back catalog of PS4 and I think some PS3 games on it, but no new games. So no brand new games come to that. Now, recently, over the last year and a half, they also added the ability to download some games as well. I think a lot of them you can download. So you sign up to this service, The Last of Us Part 1, you could download that game and play it offline, or you can stream it. So
yeah,
they actually offer this hybrid thing. But the difference between PS Now and Game Pass is that no new games come onto PS Now. So PlayStation are still making it so that you have to buy their brand new exclusives. So that's why it's not seen as good a deal as Game Pass. However, the back catalogue of games is much larger than Game Pass, I'd say.
Okay.
So it is a good service, but I think, I don't know the exact prices today, but I think it's more expensive than Game Pass each month, and I think basically you are still tied to your PlayStation to play these games, so it's not like you can play anywhere. That's PS Now, PlayStation Now, and I do think it's a very good thing, but I don't think they are. I think they are really teetering on the edge of whether they need to go the Game Pass model. I don't think their model they don't want to support the Game Pass type model of subscription services. They see this as an add-on. That's the difference between PlayStation and Xbox in this kind of approach, and I think most gamers are leaning towards that Game Pass side purely because of the ability to play new games.
And limitations, again, it's interesting. Sony really don't seem to want to embrace it in the same way, do they?
I don't think so. I don't think they want to, but it's the only one where I've seen an advert for it, though. Is it PlayStation or is it Xbox? I don't know if you guys could have seen it. It's like the one where everyone's falling out the sky. I think that might actually be Game Pass. There is an advert for one of the two.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, but I just don't know which platform that was for. I thought that might be PS Now, you know. So maybe they've done a TV campaign, but again, it's just not widespread enough. At least for both of these consoles, it is plastered along their desktops. When you go onto the console, it is quite evident. If you're a casual gamer, you should know about it. But I just think there's a party of people that would like to get involved with gaming, and they just think there's such a barrier to entry in terms of price and knowing stuff. But if you said to them, if you said, hey, you don't need to know anything about gaming because you just sign up for this service and you can just download whatever you want, or stream whatever you want, that is a better advert to those people.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with so many more people coming into gaming than ever before because of coronavirus.
We talked about that last week, didn't we? Where do those people go now? You can't play Animal Crossing forever, surely. I mean, I know people do. You can't play forever.
Play your fucking Japanese porn game, Ben.
That's an extreme version of what it is.
Is it extreme, though, Ben? Is it that far off?
Well, I'd like to say my official party line is that it is an extreme version of what it actually is. I'm not sure. I honestly thought you
meant it was an extreme version of Animal Crossing, and I was very confused a minute there.
So. Yeah, that would be very extreme. Yeah.
Then again, can probably find some kind of relatable bits between them. But, you know. Now, one of the other big ones in this, obviously, is GeForce Now. And as I recall, it came out just after Stadia, didn't it? Having been in beta for a lot longer.
It did. This had its problems as well.
It did, although it initially came out to good reviews. So I remember that. It then had an awful lot of problems with licensing, didn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant when it came out. It was absolutely fantastic. I played Disco Elysium on my old laptop, my old shitty laptop. I got GeForce Now on a 1 or 3 month trial, and bought Disco Elysium on Steam, and then I could play it through a fucking supercomputer. Absolutely brilliant. And then what happened? Every developer out there started saying, "This isn't okay. You can't just stream our games."
Yeah, that was it. I mean, you had Bethesda removed all their games. Blizzard removed all their games. I think even 2K, the guys who made Heroes 3, Eddie, removed all their games.
I don't understand. Why did they do it? Because they're still getting the money because you're still buying the game.
Well, yes and no. So I think the main issue, and Pete, you might be able to clear this one up. The main issue, especially with indie developers, because you had indie developers pulling their games as well.
Yeah.
Because it's basically controlling the releases. So you basically lose the ability to control who can play your game at what time through what medium. So getting paid the right way. So you might want to put a certain discount in a certain place, or you can't control if somebody's going to buy something from the Epic store, if they're going to buy it from somewhere else. I just think and also like if you wanted to bring your game out to mobile later on and then people can play it on PC and you were trying to target a different market or something, suddenly people can play it on one, they're not going to buy it on the other platform. I think it just disrupts their scheduling and in a lot of people's eyes. Now I'm not doing a great job of explaining the economics, but there are actually economic reasons for why people want to control the flow of their game.
Yeah.
And I think what they're saying is that was their right, and GeForce Now had no right to be able to offer a service that streamed their game. And intuitively, I'm with you, Eddie. Why would you want to surely it just means that people can play your game. But people didn't want that. Developers didn't want that. I don't know if you have heard anything about that, Pete.
So, well, from what I recall of this, their intention was to do what I think all of them are looking to do, which is to be the Netflix for gaming. So you paid a monthly subscription and you had access to a library of games, much as it is with Game Pass, except for the fact that they didn't seem to explain that correctly to the people they'd licensed games from.
Well, they didn't license anything, did they? Because
not properly, no.
Yeah, because so this is a quote I've got here. This is a quote from an article, not a quote from it says, another big issue is that GeForce Now complicates exclusivity agreements. Mm-hmm. How can you ensure an exclusivity agreement on, say, console or through Epic Game Store if the game can be easily reproduced through GeForce Now on any screen? Cloud gaming with absolutely no restrictions would start dictating an important aspect of developers' financial future.
Yes. Yeah, and that is a huge problem, which obviously on our side we wish wasn't a problem. But one of the biggest things that's come out while I've been looking into this side of it is that a lot of the future of this industry, and we're going to get into it later, is based around the idea of ownership and what part of a game you own when you buy it. And that was really thrown off by GeForce Now.
Yes. Yeah. I'm looking at another one, which follows your point, Pete, where it said, somebody said, I would ask, why should a studio be allowed to dictate where I am allowed to install and play a game I have purchased?
Exactly.
Which is, makes sense.
Yeah, and it comes about because now the way, as far as I'm aware, I haven't checked it since my free trial last year as well. It was last year. Now it is purely a bring your own thing and play it on our systems. As far as I'm aware, it's games you own, you can now play through their system.
Well, and is it though? Because some games weren't streamable through GeForce Now. So I had a weird one where I had the latest Football Manager wasn't streamable through GeForce Now, but 2019 was. So it's like they allowed the older ones, but not the newer one. It just seems so weird. So the problem with GeForce Now was that it became incredibly bitty. You didn't know. You had to basically research whether a game would be allowable. So luckily Disco Elysium was. So I bought it. I played it. But it ran into significant problems that it just did not anticipate. And that was a real fucking shame because it was the one to make waves.
It was.
For me, streaming services sound amazing at getting rid of what I've experienced in the past. Now I've got a really good laptop, but in the past I've spent my life having problems with certain games' qualities, having to deal with bad graphical errors. It seems to get rid of all those problems, right?
Yes.
However, the one thing, the reason why that used to be a problem for me is because it was a ball ache to work out what I needed, what I didn't need. So if you've got a streaming service and some games just aren't on it for licensing reasons, then you've got a ball ache problem that is a different ball ache problem.
You've got a different one.
Ball ache problem.
Yeah. So the concept,
it's great that they get rid of that, but they need to get rid of all the ball ache problems for it to be successful.
I don't know how it's looking right at this second, but the problem with GeForce Now was that it lost a lot of its user base where that went wrong.
Yes.
Because the concept of it is amazing. Like, I downloaded Disco Elysium on a shitty old laptop to try it out, and I could play it on high settings.
Yeah.
Which is mental, with no lag or anything. I mean, it would come up with like the connection issues, so my internet if it was unstable or something, but it never cut out. But if you've got decent internet, it's a fucking fantastic alternative. And you mentioned that issue, Eddie, and I think most people have that issue with if they've got a computer which isn't top notch. Mm-hmm. This just eliminates the whole thing.
It does.
And I'm not being funny, but let's be honest. For me at least, the deciding factor for me updating my laptop, which is normally every 2 years, I would say, is normally a game. It's normally this yes. game is coming out. For example, the last one for me was Warhammer Total War. my old laptop, I looked at it and it went, fucking hell, it's going to run like a piece of shit. It's going to run like a potato. Yeah. So it's going to run like Cyberpunk on day one. So obviously, that's when I went and spent a lot of money on a new laptop. Now, this could be amazing for me. This could be absolutely fantastic. It could be a complete game changer. I just hope they don't fuck it up. Well, I don't hope they don't continue to fuck it up.
So lots of bits there. Ben, do you want to tell us a little bit about Nintendo's version as well before we...
Yeah, so Nintendo have been very slow in coming into this one. They've released a cloud version of a couple of games as entry points, and the most notable one was probably Control, which I talked about like 10 weeks ago or something. I think this is Nintendo's best way of competing with the next gen console games if they feel in the future like they're being left behind. So basically, you can download, but it's you know, full price games. You get to try it out. You get to try out the cloud version first, or you do with Control anyway, to check that it works on your system with your internet. And you basically just stream the game. And it's an excellent way of playing if your internet is up to scratch and you can play these top of the line games, which look amazing on your Xbox or whatever. It will look just as good on your Switch because your Switch is only using it as a screen, really. It's tapping into the power of the supercomputer. So you're able to play on these high settings. If anything, the Switch version could look better on the small screen handheld than the Xbox version. Yeah. Like, that's mental, right? but that's the world we're now living in. I think there's one or two other cloud versions of games as well. But it definitely does when you've got Sephiroth coming to Smash Brothers and stuff. There is a world where Final Fantasy VII Remake comes to Switch as a cloud version just because. Like, if companies are willing to do that, the bad thing about that with the Switch is obviously that you'll get people not wanting to put a game onto the Switch natively, and so therefore you'll lose, like, the disc or the cartridge copies of games, and it's all about the integrity of things into the future when they turn servers off and things like that. You own it for the time that it's alive.
Yeah.
When in 10 years' time, you can't come back to Control. Mm-hmm. Like, because they're going to switch the servers off.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. And then there's the question of, do these things follow you through your lifetime? Do you have... It's the same thing with Steam. Like, when somebody's Steam account, somebody dies, like, they've got those... You get people like that try to access that Steam account and open it up, because otherwise you've just got this wealth of game catalog, which is worth a fortune, which is just then dies with the person. It's not physical. So we'll see how that develops with Nintendo, but they are definitely dipping their toes in without not wanting to be left behind, but they could be the biggest players in this.
Definitely. Because they're those kind of games that you just, you know, I mean, Ben, how many Nintendo games have you bought in the last, like, year?
Quite a few.
All of them.
I can imagine far more than the other two consoles, right?
Yes, completely right. I buy a lot of Switch games because I like to have them on Switch because they don't lose value, and also because I like a Switch collection.
So be good.
Yeah, and it does add legitimacy to the console as well, doesn't it? As a first choice console, as opposed to a second choice console.
What's their argument after that? If everything's streamed, then what's their argument?
Yeah, you get Nintendo plus all your other AAA games. Yeah, okay. Yep. That sounds pretty good.
Exactly, yeah. And I hate to say it, then maybe the Switch will be an okay console then.
Oh, you'll go as far as that way?
Maybe some adults might play with it.
Oh, that's...
Maybe some people outside of Asia might buy it, yeah.
That's very hurtful.
Let's not jump to any conclusions anyway. But, no, I think... So that's they're the main events, and I believe Steam are meant to be doing something along these lines as well, but I don't keep up with that. Yeah, there is some mention of it, but I need to do some more research on it. But I think the major reason this
could have done that for this podcast.
Could have done it for the episode that we're all talking about.
I've
could have
done it for this just, one.
If anything, that would be the more suitable thing to do.
I would have done that. Eddie, if I knew about that, I would have probably done
obviously,
it.
Obviously, yeah. Why wouldn't you? We're doing an episode on it.
If you knew about it, you would have done it, wouldn't you? So.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have not done it. That would be ridiculous. No,
this is a man with thousands of hours on Steam. He could easily have heard about it just as I did.
I'm playing my Japanese porn game, sorry.
You bought it already, haven't you?
Of course I have. No. Lockdown's been very lonely.
check if it's on Steam, Eddie.
I'd rather not, mate. I wouldn't want that on my fucking search history.
So, anyway, ignoring that point, the reason I think this is important is because we are definitely seeing a big change in the way games are brought to us. In sort of the method in how we're going to get hold of them, don't you think? With all of these, it's either changing the way you're able to play it, as we've talked about.
I'm going to stop you. I found Catherine on Steam, but it's asking me. It's asking me to prove my age before I go onto the fucking store page.
And you need to, man. Fuck you need to.
Sake!
I tell you, it's a mature game. For mature audiences.
Come on.
For adults.
Bought GTA 5 and there wasn't a fucking age warning on that.
I didn't mention earlier, but you can go into the bathroom in the bar and you can choose to put on glasses, which means that you see everyone in the game in their underwear throughout the whole game.
That seems like a large detail to me.
I took the glasses off. I didn't want to play like that.
After having a look around, yeah. Right,
I did put them on for a while until I realised that this actually affected the whole game and I thought it wasn't in, yeah. Anyway, so I took them off. But you can do that. It's a crazy. It's a weird game, guys. It's a weird game. Anyway, how much is it, Eddie?
It's £15.
There you go. You can get involved if you want.
My God. I think, you know what? I think I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Okay.
He's put it on his wish list for when it's
Why don't you GeForce now it?
Well, there we go.
Anyway. Oh my God. It's ridiculous. But yeah, what a ridiculous situation that is. And I really hope you finish it soon so we can stop talking about it.
I'll finish it in the next couple of days, actually.
I bet you will. But regardless, I think... To get back to the main topic,
yes.
Do you guys, at least, do you see streaming services as the future of gaming?
Big comment. I hope so. Because part of me, it gets rid of the whole side of things where you have to check things, you have to do, you have to make sure your computer's up to spec. If it's not up to spec, you have to buy a new computer. It kind of eliminates that whole huge, very expensive step. But with everything, if they don't get it right, then it's just gonna fall and die. So I really hope so, but for them to do it. Here's another problem. When all of these people get in on their own different versions, some games are obviously going to be exclusive for other ones and so forth. So I think we could be in a scenario where you get a certain streaming service and you don't get what you want. And I think for anything new like that in the gaming industry, it'll just fall and die. So I hope it's the future. I hope it's the future, but I don't think unless it's done right, it will not work.
It's a good point you just made, Eddie. It's just like new TV series that come out, and if it's on Amazon or if it's on Netflix, you're like, if it's on Disney, and it's like suddenly I've got three subscription services. That's a good point. My thing is that streaming on its own has a very much got a risk that it's like VR, and we just had new console releases for this generation. So I imagine that streaming has 7 years to get good. Yes. But it's got 7 years and then maybe it probably got 3 or 4 years to get good because then it kind of will spell the death of the next console.
And see, this is where I lie as well. in that I can see this killing off consoles. Well, and it's particularly, it's the two together. It's subscription service and streaming.
And also digitized media. So, yeah. So I definitely think we're in the last generation of disc consoles.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it's not a massive stretch to move to them being streaming boxes or something similar, or being a halfway house between streaming, a hybrid streaming service, and digital content. The big thing for me is that the subscription model of like a Netflix gaming, like Game Pass, that train is just hurtling along. Choo choo. Yeah.
My God, every week you get it in, baby.
Meep, meep.
That Pingu.
No.
No, he was Newt Newt. There you go.
Yeah, that train is hurtling along, and it's what can attach itself to a model like that. Now, Microsoft are so far in the lead that xCloud seems to be what they need to do. I think they need to attach xCloud to their old Xboxes. So basically get an xCloud app and allow it to be installed on your old Xbox One, or release a box which is just an xCloud app box which plugs into your TV. Like, how good would that be? I think that's where they could be. I think Microsoft are seeing into the future here and going, we are so far ahead of the curve and we have multiple paths to go down. And I think they have made it in this last generation where they went, right, we lost the Xbox One, we lost. And they went, we are going to pivot. And they have done a master stroke to take the whole market in this regard.
I think this is the thing. The subscription service is such a key part of it. Such a key part of it. Because as we've seen with things like Stadia in particular, but also with GeForce now, if you haven't got that catalogue of games, it's very hard to keep people on board.
Like, yes.
Incredibly hard. And there's nowhere near as much incentive to me with a very powerful laptop, or to you, Ben, with your multiple everything, or to you, Eddie, with a much more up-to-date one, to worry about streaming stuff just to improve the quality.
But let's also, like, GeForce Now is a great concept, but one of the issues there is with it, like Disco Elysium, I got GeForce Now to play Disco Elysium.
Yeah.
Now that, so the reason I've got GeForce Now is because I don't have a great PC. Therefore, I don't play PC games.
Yeah.
So this is a hypothetical me from 6 months ago or whatever. So therefore, I don't play PC games. However, I want to play one game. So I'll take GeForce Now out for a month or two. That's not a recurring revenue stream, because I'll stop. Yeah. And when I see a new PC game that I want to play, which may be once in a blue moon, I will do it again. Now, things like Game Pass are recurring revenue streams, because they're always going. Now, if you don't have games attached to your subscription service, you're fucked, because it's not recurring.
Yeah,
people just cancel.
And that's actually what I mean when I'm saying a subscription service, by the way, is a difference from streaming. There is access to games. But
I was trying to back up your point. Sorry, I wasn't coming into counter. I was just saying about GeForce Now. That's the problem with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the problem they've all got except xCloud at the moment, isn't it? PS Now to a lesser degree, but because they're not doing brand new games, I don't see the hold working for as long either.
No, but they have the ability to pivot with it when they want to, which is great, because they've built this up. I don't believe PS Now. I think you might be able to stream it to the Vita, but you can also obviously play between your PS4 and PS5 that we discussed a few weeks ago. Which is a big thing, but I think streaming, they talk about streaming being good for being on the go, like you can play at work, you play whenever. Yes, that is a
work,
point.
Sorry.
Yeah, like lunchtime or something. But right, I get that as a point, but I don't really game outside of the house. like our game of an evening or something. So I don't think that's a huge market. Like, I know in London when people are on the train and stuff, maybe that's a thing that people want to do, but I can't imagine anybody whipping out the old Xbox controller and playing
Xbox.
Well,
that's it. I think what they're trying to do is compete with mobile gaming on that, isn't it? It's to try and steal a little bit of the mobile gaming market back. And it's going to be very difficult unless you can get people playing purely on their phone and having the same kind of experience.
It's harder to justify, even if you're on a bus or something, so you've got signal, whipping out the controller. I've got the contraption that fits around your controller and your phone, so it's all connected into one. But if I was going to play a game, I would just do it on my phone because it's discreet. Like, I would just play and like nobody's really seeing. I'd play Fire Emblem Heroes or something, and nobody's really caring.
Full body, yeah.
But
you can't fucking rock a semi on a fucking bus journey, Pete.
But I mean, Ben can if he's playing that, I'm sure.
No. I want to be discreet, Pete. I want to be discreet, so I'm gonna play some Fire Emblem.
Using the word discreet.
Discreet.
The word discreet has only been used in a sexual way.
Are you not just picturing Ben in like an oversized trench coat and a hat?
I'm gonna be full incognito.
Being discreet.
Full incognito.
One might say taking on a persona, even.
Very good. But if you are whipping out a controller, like, there's the stigma as well. Like, it's not mainstream enough.
Justifiable stigma based on what we've just discussed. But yes.
Yeah. But you can't do it. Like, I think there's a ways to go, man. There's a ways to go.
But this is the thing. And I thought it was interesting you mentioned consoles again, Ben, because there's a very real chance that this sort of stuff can kill consoles completely. Don't you think? And a very real chance that we'll, as you said, we'll see all media digitized. And that could well be the end for, I want to say, real life console.
Well, there's two TVs coming out, in the next few months that have Stadia built into it.
Integrated, yeah. And I think this is what we're going to start seeing, isn't it?
Well,
this is also what I meant, by the way, with stuff that's coming soon. This is coming now. This is going to be a bigger part of our lives this year, is things like that.
But that's why I think Xbox and Microsoft are in such a good position to pivot there and have a streaming box, like just a 50 quid box that says sign up to Game Pass. Not everything at the moment, but most things, but they'll make it everything eventually, is going to go through xCloud. So this xCloud box is 50 quid, and it hooks up with an HDMI 2 to your TV, and if you've got internet which is over a certain speed, Bob's your uncle, done. What an advert.
Exactly, that's...
We won't see those.
I mean, it pisses all over them having a new console, but I think if Xbox start dramatically losing this console war this generation round, I think they're just going to play the trump card. And that would be the trump card.
I think they're going that way anyway, because you've got to think, like, based on the way they released the most recent Xbox and the lack of exclusive games.
Oh, they didn't give a shit.
They're done with this. Like, they are already thinking about the next step.
Yeah, they are all in on Game Pass, aren't they? And everything that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And actually, Game Pass is such a great example of a way to do it that I think it will soon start being copied by the others properly. Because, I mean, you talk about Nintendo games, Ben, and owning them and them not losing value.
Yes.
Quite often. I'm pretty sure you mention that at least every other week, if not every
week. Yeah.
However, of course you do. And there's people like me who like having some games. So I own copies of the games I know I'm going to play a lot. But things like Game Pass are perfect for just giving you a game that you wouldn't normally take a chance on, that you're not willing to drop 20 quid on to own it. And you don't care about whether you're going to play it again 10 years down the line. Or 2 years down the line. So things like A Plague Tale Innocence, Ben, that you played a few weeks ago.
Yeah, lovely. I'd never spend money on it, but lovely game.
Exactly. And it's that sort of thing. Same reason I tried Celeste.
It's quite dark, but not lovely in that regard. But,
but no, I mean, yeah, thousands of rats everywhere, Plague. Yeah, it sounds lovely.
Yeah, parents dead, all that kind of shit.
Lovely game. Lovely story-based game. Animal Crossing. So it's giving you an option to play a huge amount of more games than you would normally bother to do, both through it being available to you right there and the fact that you're not paying anything extra to do so. And I think that is definitely the way things are going to go, because it's just a better, it's better for all parties, don't you think?
I'm quite sad about that as a future, though.
I bet you are. I bet you are. And I don't think it's going to completely destroy physically owning games. At least I sincerely hope it doesn't. But I do think you're going to see a huge reduction in the number of games that you are able to physically own. Nintendo aren't going to go away from it. Let's be honest. Like, they're not. But I think we could be starting to see everyone else doing so.
Yeah, I think Nintendo are just trying to keep touch at the moment with that type of stuff.
Stay and, relevant.
Yeah, and they've also got an opportunity to capitalize on the market. But I think the next 3 years are probably telling for what streaming services can get up to. Yeah. Because that's going to control the destiny for the future consoles.
Yeah. Now, there's one point that you've also briefly mentioned, Ben, which I think is probably the main stumbling block and definitely the biggest and most important thing in all of this, which is, do we have the Wi-Fi for this? Like, do we actually think we've got a good enough connection for this across the board?
Well, we don't, I mean, in
Pete,
the UK.
Pete, yeah. Pete, especially fucking your Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
Yours is dog shit. Yours is dog shit.
Terrible.
So listeners tonight, we've already had to cut twice because Pete's internet is so fucking wanky.
Oh, I know. And that's a good night. That's a good night.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And the reason why we're doing it tonight instead of the usual tomorrow is because you know your Wi-Fi's going to be shit tomorrow because one other person's on it.
Yes, is streaming a football match. Yeah, that's enough to completely total my internet. So obviously we're making grand claims. I'm in particular making grand claims about the future for this service, and I won't be able to use it.
You really?
I will not be able to use it.
That's so true.
Because the other bit is, I don't even get 4G in my building properly. I have to go outside for that.
How thick are your walls, man? Your walls are thicker than a Snickers. They are
solid, yeah. They are very solid.
Thick with two C's, brother.
Tremendously solid. But I think it's a very real concern because a lot of the people I've seen testing things like Stadia were testing it on hardwired connections and very, very strong internet in general. One of them had a 10 gig setup. This was 2 years ago, by the way. And of course they're going to run well on that. Of course they are.
So I think they say they need like a minimum of like 14 meg. The real ones are like, like fighting games, because people like rely on frames per second, like actual frames of like, I think Dragon Ball FighterZ is on Stadia and I think it plays quite well, but there's always going to be a latency. And do you remember with Stadia when they talked about their controller, right? And they talked about latency, but so the latency being when you press the button on your controller and the time it takes for it to action on the screen, for your thing to recognize it and action. What they said with Stadia was that they were going to connect your controller straight up to your Wi-Fi as well, so your controller would be connected to your Wi-Fi rather than the device. So your controller would connect to your laptop, whatever, it would connect to the Wi-Fi. And they also talked about predictive button presses. So it would like predict where you're going. And if it predicts right, then it makes it uber quick. So it would have like, they talked about like negative latency, which is fucking, it's just nonsense. It just doesn't exist. But there's all these things to overcome stuff, but I think it's like 14 meg. I mean, what's your internet speed, Eddie?
I think 50, 60.
Yeah, mine's around 40 to 50 down. But in America,
yours is like 3, I think.
Yeah, yours is like 6 or something, right?
Supposedly it's 20, but it never is. Six or 7 is about right.
Certainly doesn't sound 20.
given my last flat was about 300, is a bit of a downgrade.
Well, my last flat was like 5, and I couldn't play. Like, I remember trying to play Smash Brothers online, and it was lagging so much. And I was thinking, like, everybody in this lobby is thinking, who is causing this? And it's me. It's me. I know it's me.
One thing I will say though is it does give me an almost unique experience of Rocket League, where at one point I'm in the middle of the pitch jumping to get to the ball, and at the next point I'm on the ceiling and not falling off it.
I'm surprised that you can play online, to be honest.
It's a strong statement to say I can play. But it's I have a few challenges to overcome. The fact that I'm using a damaged PS3 controller.
Doesn't help.
I mean, that's too much. That's too much to handle.
Yeah,
that is not okay.
It's a cutting edge setup, okay?
But in America, like in the main cities in America, they have like 500 meg, don't they? Like and Japan, like they're on 500 meg gig. Like, it seems like we are behind the pace quite a bit with our internet speed in this country. And if we are, the rest of Europe surely can't be like amazing. And then there must be, you know, I think we're a few years away, aren't we?
I think we are. And I mean, it's not just as simple as saying all the big American cities have amazing internet. I can't speak for Japan. I'm sure theirs is very good, but I've not been there. But in America, there's still many points, even in big cities, where you'll have problems with it. Either due to the building construction, which is the case in mine, or other things like that, just areas that haven't quite been cabled correct as yet. And it's going to take a while to overcome that. And until they do, this all still remains a theory, doesn't it?
It does to an extent. Because, and even like the cloud gaming on the Switch on Control, if I were going to, I played the little 10 minutes or whatever to see whether it worked, but I would actually want to see whether it worked for half an hour, you know? Yeah. I don't want to see whether my internet holds up for 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it was. I want to. So you have to basically buy a £45 game to check whether your internet works.
Yeah.
And I suspect that also, what happens when your internet drops? Does it cut out? Does it just lag it? What happens? Like, it's something that we're not quite there to take the risk on yet, especially when you've got alternatives.
And I think this really is, because I want to draw it back to the initial question we were asked and didn't explore last week of what do you think is the future of gaming. I think this is the most current part of the future of gaming we have around us, and it's still nowhere near ready. It's
that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, we can talk, like, even Game Pass is clearly still building, but until we start seeing things like Elder Scrolls 6 dropping onto it day one and being up to speed, it's all not quite at the top end. You know what I mean?
Well, until we see, not Elder Scrolls 6, until we see Indiana Jones drop on Game Pass day one, because that's going to be Bethesda.
It is. It was a publisher, but yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
Right. So I think that about does it for now, doesn't it? We'll revisit this in 3 years and see what they've got. but looking to next week now, we are going to be taking a look at 2015 in gaming, which those among you may notice that both myself and Eddie are playing a game that was made in 2015 and won Game of the Year. So it may be quite obvious where we got this idea, but I think you'll end up agreeing with us that it was a phenomenal year in gaming.
Yeah, and I think if anybody's got any particular games from that year, in particular for us to talk about next week, then you can get in touch and let us know before we start planning the feature. So you can get in touch two ways. The first of which is by email, which is podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. And the second is @grumpygamerspod on Twitter.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Flawless.
Absolutely nailed it.
Love it.
Absolutely nailed it.
But anyway, for this week, it's GG.
GG.
GG. GG.